Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Goldbridge Saves Football Podcast. It's Friday, and the season starts tomorrow, unless you're in the Premier League and you've got to wait a week. But we aren't going to wait a week because we're going to get into Premier League predictions, and I think Liverpool might win the league. That's the end of the podcast. Go and talk about it. Bye. It's not really. I will talk about it, but I want to get interactive on this. I think that Premier League predictions is always a massive video on my YouTube channel, That's Football, and that's going to be coming out on Sunday. And I may go down the pub again before it, but I want to get into all the options around the various things because the Premier League is coming back, whether you like it or not. And there are some interesting permutations in there. And I think Liverpool have to be thrown into that category. And I want to explain why that is as well. I want to revisit what we spoke about on Monday on summer signing of the season so far. I've got your results in. Never forget to check the Spotify comments and polls where you can get involved. I can tell you that Calafiori was voted by you as the signing of the summer so far with 34.9% of the vote. We'll go through the other options. But what about Zubimendi, Liverpool? May or may not be official by the time you're listening to this podcast, but it is going to happen. What a signing that is. Absolutely fantastic. And hopefully we will see more signings like that in the last few weeks of this transfer window, which hasn't been great so far, as we've said before. But I hope you're all doing well. We're going to get into the podcast, but it is Friday. I've had a lot of people messaging me, actually, both privately and in the street, saying, "Mark, you look really tired. Are you getting drained by all the hate on social media?" And I said, "Well, not unless it's delayed reaction to 10 years of it." Actually, it's funny, actually, some of the criticism I've seen this week, because I do get sent some of it sometimes. I think there's a bigger, I might talk about that in a few minutes, actually, the way I think football is going in relation to this world that we operate in, because the mainstream is going to continue to do what it does. But I have sort of hinted at it a little bit over the last few months that I do think there is a change in the way that football is being consumed in this whatever world we operate in. And I think it's a shame where it's heading, actually. It's almost like people just want to say things for sensationalism and, you know, views and clicks. It's almost like it's becoming, you know, like you've got Speed and the Sidemen and the Beta Squad and all these American YouTubers who just do these massive big things for views and everything like that. And it works really, really well. I think people are trying to bring it into football influencers, and I just think it's shite, to be honest. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm tired. I'm tired of having to prop this show up on my own. And that's when Will's here. Imagine what it's like when he's not here. He hasn't been fired. There are rumors that people like Rory Jennings are begging for the job. Which probably sounds about right, actually. But no, on a serious note, Will should be back next week because we've got some exciting stuff at the start of the season. I am tired, though. I'm tired because I'm getting up in the middle of the night every night. I hit that age where I need a piss. No, I haven't. It's the puppy. I'm knackered the last few weeks. If you've been watching the United stand, I have been quite irritable. But it's just lack of sleep. It's as simple as that. You know, nobody's perfect, and I'm not perfect when I'm perfect. So, just been a bit tired recently. Don't want no sympathy, though. Let's get on to the Premier League predictions. So, look, I want you to get in the comments or just put it in your heads. I mean, I like reading the comments on Spotify. We're not putting this on YouTube, so I can't read them there. That just won't work. Although I might start putting some community polls on the YouTube channel. That's a good idea. But I want to know your thoughts around a few key things, really, because my Premier League predictions video will be out on Monday. And I will entertain you over the next few minutes about what I think are the shortlists. And maybe I'll give you some hints and spoilers exclusively for the podcast. In fact, why not? But I think there's a few areas, isn't there? Who's going to win the Premier League? Who's going to get in the top four? Who's going to get relegated? Who's going to be top scorer? Who's going to be player of the year? Who's going to win the FA Cup? Who's going to win the Carabao Cup? Who's going to win the Champions League? But I'd also like to see some of you getting in the comments with your predictions for that, because I'm nosy and interested by opinion. That's why I do this. But I'd also like to know if there's any other categories we should throw in. I've always played around with the idea of throwing in like manager of the year, signing of the season. I think, you know, at the end of the season, I think that's an interesting one to do as well. But I honestly just want to start off by saying I will give you a spoiler on who's going to win the league, because it will be Manchester City. I don't think there is any doubt about Manchester City winning it, because they're a juggernaut. And I think it's probably going to be Pep Guardiola's last season. That's what I'm hearing from people in the industry, that this will be his last season. It's the worst kept secret in football. Five in a row. 8 out of 9 or whatever it is. I think that's absolutely, you know, let's put it this way. If you were on a boat and there's two jet skis, one of them's called Man City and one of them's called the rest of the Premier League, and you're in shark infested waters, and the guy in charge of the boat says one of those has got enough petrol to get you to shore and one of them hasn't. One of them's called Man City and one of them's not. Which one are you going to get on? We're all going to get on Man City. We're all going to gamble that's the one with the petrol to get to the shore. We can pretend otherwise, but we are, because they are massive, massive favourites. However, I have got this weird feeling about Liverpool. And it started with Klopp last year. You know, what Klopp was doing last year surprised me. This time a year ago, Liverpool would not really have been title contenders from anybody because they'd had a bad season and they were really uncertain about what was going to happen. I waxed lyrical on this podcast about what Jurgen Klopp did last summer. You know, he rebuilt a midfield in 2 months, which is just, you know, you look at what Man United are trying to do under Ineos. It's really difficult. And he rebuilt that midfield in one summer with Szoboszlai and McAllister, Gravenberg. I think Endo had come in a few months before. And over the course of the season, that Liverpool team was just not quite where Arsenal and Man City were, but you felt that there was a momentum, and a year older, they would be better this season. Obviously, Klopp's not there, and there's a lot of it depends just how well the team react to this manager, but the preseason signs are good. And then you bring someone like Zubimendi in, who is just perfectly heaven sent, almost, if football was like that, for a team that wants somebody to just run that midfield. I mean, this is the guy that basically came on and did Rodri's job in the final. Rodri is probably the best holding midfielder in the Premier League and the world. And Liverpool have just brought his understudy in. I think it's a really intelligent move. But it's not just because of that I think Liverpool are a title contender. As an outsider, you know, some of these, I'm not going to go with the obvious ones. I'm just giving you the outsiders. I've just got a feeling that Liverpool will react well to slots. I think they've got a good squad. And I think that Zubimendi just gives them more quality in the most important area in an Arlie slot side. So I would throw Liverpool in there as a bit of an outsider, because you've got to be an outsider. Man City are firm favourites. So I'm not going to sit here and say Liverpool are going to win the league. I'm just saying, keep an eye out for Liverpool. I've got a feeling that they might be they could dislodge Arsenal in second place. I think Arsenal's big problem, by the way, is that they were so close to Man City last year, 2 points off, conceded the least amount of goals. Them and Man City were the only team in the Premier League, I think, to score over 90 goals. So Arsenal were so close last season. It's fine margins, but Man City just have the edge. I think Liverpool and Arsenal could damage each other. I mean, if Arsenal were to win this league, they really just need it to be a two-horse race and everyone else is miles off. I think Man City's strength might be the fact that if Liverpool come into the equation, they can sort of damage Arsenal a little bit and allow Man City to do what they do. But I think Arsenal have bought well. I think Calafiori brings something to that defence. Timber's like a new signing. And if they get that Moreno into their midfield as well, I think Arsenal are starting to do what Man City have got, where you've got that squad and that capability that if you lose a De Bruyne, you can still focus. So I can't look beyond any of those three for the title. I don't know about you, when we're talking about who's going to win the title. And that sort of feeds into top four, doesn't it? Because if those three are going to fight for the title or be the title contenders, that means three of the top four are taken already. And then I think that fourth spot is so difficult to predict, isn't it? You know, Aston Villa are top four from last year, bought reasonably well, very good manager, very good team. But going into the Champions League, that's a lot of football. It's a high level of football. Is fatigue going to be a problem for Villa? I think that's their vulnerability. Tottenham under Ange, quite a subdued summer transfer window in the fact that no one's really took any notice of it. Still got some business to do. Solanke would be a very intelligent signing. And I'm always a big fan of goals. Funnily enough, that's... Oh, Goldbridge is a big fan of goals, you know. I listen to his podcast because, unlike other podcasts, he comes out with things you just wouldn't think of. And I was listening the other day and he said he's all... You know, he just loves goals. The one thing he loves about football is goals. And when you think about it, not enough people think that goals are important in football. Yeah, amazing takes. It's amazing. But no, obviously goals are the most important thing in football. But I think when you bring in a striker that can score you goals, not everyone's got that. We've seen that with Villa and Watkins. We've seen it with Isak and Newcastle and Spurs. Richarlison didn't really do it. So if you bring a guy that can score you goals regularly, it's going to get you more points. So Spurs have to be under consideration, but they are Spurs. I take that on board. And then the other real contenders for top four have got to be Chelsea, Man United and Newcastle, who all struggled with injuries last year, who all have the pedigree to get to top four and who are all very hard to predict. I mean, Newcastle under Eddie Howe, when everybody's fit, are ridiculously consistent, and they've got superstar players like Bruno Guimaraes, Anthony Gordon, Isak, and then they're supplemented by this amazing consistent unit. So I think Newcastle, I wouldn't say they're going to go under the radar, but I think Newcastle are a team that you've got to consider for top four, almost a little bit like Liverpool for the title. Like, there's real method to go, Newcastle are very good at defying logic and consistently getting results. When they've got everybody fit, I think they're even more dangerous. They've got no European football as well. So, or have they got European football? Oh, no, they haven't, have they? Because Chelsea dropped into the Conference League and Newcastle dropped out altogether because of United. So I think Newcastle are a threat, an energised Eddie Howe side. I mean, Newcastle's only issue would be if Eddie Howe took the England job, which he isn't going to do. Chelsea under Maresca have had a bad pre-season, but you know, I don't take a lot of note. I think if you have a good pre-season, it can be helpful, but I don't think a bad one is necessarily the end of the world. And they've got so many players that are good players. So Chelsea, you can't rule out. And Man United, well, we should be getting top four, but it's a bit of a mess around the transfer window at the moment. So yeah, I mean, I don't know who you'd pop for the top four to go with Liverpool, Arsenal and Manchester City. But I mean, as I said, I think Newcastle are an interesting one. I mean, I've got a couple of days to make my mind up, but I think Newcastle consistency is obviously going to always be the problem. And I think that, yeah, when you look at that, Newcastle sort of jump out to me a little bit, if I'm being honest. Top scorer, I mean, if it's not Erling Haaland, he must have had a bad injury. Player of the year is interesting. I think player of the year, look, there are some contenders there like Cole Palmer, Saka, Ollie Watkins. You know, there's a few British players, Phil Foden, obviously. But I think the more obvious ones, Mo Salah, Kevin De Bruyne. If Liverpool are going to have a good season, then so's Mo Salah. Kevin De Bruyne missed half of a season last year. If Man City are going to win the league and he's going to play a lot, he's a magician. I'd be stunned if I haven't said player of the year already. I mean, look, maybe it could be a defender, but that doesn't normally happen. So yeah, I think I've probably given you the name amongst the five or six I mentioned there. FA Cup and Carabao Cup has been massive for Manchester United over the last 2 years. We've won both. I think the value of those trophies has gone up in the higher echelons of the Premier League because it's a get out of jail card, isn't it? I mean, Arsenal have obviously been better than United over the last couple of years, but Arsenal fans haven't had a trophy to celebrate. And everybody knows Arsenal are better than Man United, but Man United have still won two trophies in 2 years. And realistically, surely having the trophies is better. Even though we know Arsenal are better and they're trying to fight Man City for the Premier League, they've not won anything and Man United have won two trophies. So I think the value of trophies are really important to the sort of top six, seven sides now. So they do get quite competitive. Pep always values them as well. So I think, you know, predicting the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup is very, very difficult because I think everybody does try and win it now just to you know, have something at the end of the season. I mean, look, Man United won the FA Cup. If we didn't win the FA Cup, that was an absolute disaster of a season. Winning the FA Cup, it ends on a high and you go, well, you can't knock that. So I always find it difficult to predict who's going to win these trophies because Premier League is over 38 games, top scorer is over 38 games, top four is over 38 games, player of the year is over 38 games. The cup is about what team you pick on that day, how the draw goes. It's really, really difficult to predict. But if it's Pep's last season, they're dangerous because they might try and do something epic like a quadruple or a treble again. And I think I'd certainly say that Man City will win one of those. They've been in the FA Cup final for the last 2 years, haven't they? So I'd say Man City will win one of them. And then I think there's just so many teams this year that you'd say, well, I could see Liverpool winning a trophy. I can see United doing it again. I could see maybe Newcastle doing it or a Chelsea or an Arsenal. Surely Arsenal have got to win a bit of silverware this year. I'm going to say Arsenal with a domestic trophy as well. Arsenal and City. They'd surely be those as well. I'm just realised I'm starting to give out some of my Premier League predictions here. I'm going to be in trouble. As for the Champions League, I think that the Champions League, really, you're not going to move too far away from Real Madrid, are you? I think Real Madrid, with Mbappe and the players that they've got a year older, they've just got that mentality as well. But I still think head-to-head, Manchester City are capable of beating Real Madrid. And I think England had such a bad year in Europe last year. I mean, we all expected Arsenal and Man City to do better in the Champions League. And I think we all expected Liverpool to win the Europa League. So, and I think we all expected Villa to win the Conference League, and we ended up with none of that. So I think England needs to build its reputation back into European football this year. We almost became a bit too Premier League centric last year. I do want England's teams to do well. I don't want Man City to win it. I'll be honest about that. But it's a new Champions League format as well. Yeah, I mean, look, you're not going to look far away from Real Madrid, but if it's not going to be Real Madrid, I think it will be an English club. And whether it can be Aston Villa, I'm not so sure. But Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City have got to be considerations for the Champions League. Why not? It's a strong trio in the Champions League this year. From an English point of view, and beyond Real Madrid, I can't really see anybody doing it. And I've said that for years. I don't really think Bayern Munich are up to it. Barcelona are miles off. And the Italian clubs just don't feel like they're quite there. So I would say that you're looking at Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, or Real Madrid, in my opinion. But yeah, get your comments in on that. I really want you to start thinking about your Premier League predictions. Just before we talk about signing of the season, by the way, because I do want to predict that, but the Premier League starts, the Community Shield, I'll be doing a watch along on United Stand. It's Manchester City, Man United at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. But you're in for a world of football. I haven't done relegation either, by the way. I mean, look, on relegation, if you're not looking at Ipswich, Southampton, and the other team that got promoted, which I now recall is Leicester, you're a bloody prat. I mean, I'd love Ipswich to stay up out of the three. I don't mind Southampton or Leicester staying up, but I just don't see anybody who's going to drop down. You know, when you look at the Nottingham Forests and the Brentfords and the Fulhams and the Evertons, they are just so established now as Premier League clubs that they're not really going to get anything less than 30, 35 points. And that's a difficult points tally for a Southampton, a Leicester and Ipswich. I just think this gap is getting bigger between the Championship and the Premier League. And I said this last year, watching Sunderland at home against Newcastle in the FA Cup third round, I mean, that should be a great leveller and a great derby. And it was easy. It was easy for Newcastle. So I just think the gap is getting bigger. And I think it's going to be really difficult for the newly promoted sides. And we all want them to stay up, but I really just don't say it. I don't see it. I really don't. But I'll look at that in more depth in my video. So look, fixtures this weekend, the Championship kicks off, was what I was going to say. Coventry, well, it's not just the Championship, it's all the leagues. And as you know, my team in the Championship is Coventry City. It's been chosen, it's locked in. My team, and what we're going to do, if you didn't listen last week, is we're going to follow it and keep an eye on it and shine a light on the lower leagues of the English game. Scottish League starts on Saturday as well. Rangers are playing Motherwell. Ross County are playing Dundee, and Dundee are playing Hearts. Dundee United are playing Ross County, by the way. But the Championship kicks off. Everybody's kicking off at 12:30, and Coventry are playing Stoke away. So I'll be keeping an eye on that. In League One, they're all kicking off at 5:30. And in League Two, they're all kicking at 3:00. So it's nice. It's a nice little spread. If you're playing the game that I'm playing and Will's playing when he's back, where we pick a team from each league and we follow them. Now, obviously, on the 5:30 games at 1:30, Will's going to be going with Birmingham. They're at home to Reading. I'm Charlton away to Wigan. And then in League Two, I can't remember whether I don't know whether I just finalised it, but I think I'm going to go with Notts County, who are away to Tranmere Rovers. I was thinking about a couple of other teams, but I think I am going to go with Notts County. So there we go. And obviously Solihull Moors, they'll be playing in the National League away to Field on Saturday as well. So look, opening weekend, we're going to be really big on this year as well. It's not just about the Premier League. So definitely keep your eye out on that. I'll be doing some tweets over the weekend too. Thank you very much. But yeah, just going back to sort of like Premier League predictions, really want to get your comments in. And don't forget, if you've got any other areas that we might want to look at, signing of the season, you lot voted on this and 34%, 35% really, 34.9% said Calafiori. 9% went with Savio, Man City. 16.3% went with Xerxes at United. 11.1% went with Archie Gray. And 28.7% of you went with Not Applicable, which could mean anything. So Calafiori is being highlighted as signing of the season predictor by this community. I just wonder how many of you would change now. I mean, I have a little bit of experience on this. For a lot of last season, I said McAllister from Liverpool was signing of the season because he was a lot cheaper than Declan Rice, even though Declan Rice did very, very well. I thought he was absolutely brilliant last year, Alexi McAllister. And therefore, you've got a bit of an insight into what a midfielder can do in a Liverpool team. Well, I think Zubimendi fits Liverpool like a glove. So I just think that him in that Liverpool midfield, and look, a lot of us already know what Zubimendi's about anyway. You know, he's a player that's been, I mean, he's 25 now. He's been mentioned for quite a while as a, you know, that typical Spanish Alonso Rodri midfielder who can get on the ball, conduct the play. You know, he's chiseled from that rock, so to speak. And I think he can be a real focal point of an Arnie slot pivot. And it's so important to get control of the game in a slot system. So I think he'll slot right in, is what I think. So I think Zubimendi's got to be in there as a consideration now. But I don't know what your thoughts are. Which brings me nicely, actually, onto something I did want to talk about. Where do you start with something like this? Well, you just jump into it. I mean, there's no look, when I criticize an ex-player or a media outlet or whatever like that, it's never like I'm not telling them to jump off a cliff or something like that. I think it's just, you know, it's opinion, isn't it? And a lot of what I do is tinged with sarcasm and comedy. You know, I've been doing this for 10 years now. I don't want to sort of blow my own trumpet, but I think there's plenty of evidence out there that I'm not a vindictive person. It's always tinged with a bit of sarcasm and comedy, even though I'm very, very passionate. I've encountered a few things over the last few weeks. I think it's really sad, actually. It's really sad. There was a podcast the other day where a clip, where I was likened to Astrid Wett, which is just ridiculous. I haven't got an OnlyFans for a start. Although some of you might get excited about that, but they were basically slagging me off, which is fine. I don't care about that. It's been going on for years. They were slagging me off. Maybe they're jealous. Maybe they're right. I don't know. Slagging me off. Oh, he's very negative. This, that, and the other. Well, I'm like, well, you've probably just seen the clips of people taking me, reacting to a goal or whatever. Like, I can't do anything about that. But so they're slagging me off. That's fine. And then it's like, I'd love to just throw him on a bonfire and watch him burn. And I'm like, this is not some faceless account on Twitter. This is somebody with some sort of TikTok account. I got sent the clip and I'm like, mate, that's not going to get you anywhere in this world. Trust me. In this world of whatever it is, and it's not mainstream, it's football influence, community, whatever. That ain't going to get you anywhere. Trust me. Talking about other people who are in this space and saying you'd like to chuck them on a bonfire and watch them burn ain't going to get you anywhere. It might get you a little clip, you know, it might, you know, using someone like me and saying that and getting a few retweets with the people who don't like me, but they ain't going to stay watching your content. That's not how it works. Like, the way you become good at this is by having a unique voice that isn't based on vile comments like that. You're never going to go anywhere. Like, no brand's ever going to touch you. No, you're never going to grow with the vast majority because the niche demographic is a small demographic. So I find that sort of thing incredible. And I suppose that's an extreme. But I look at this space, and I'm very, very proud of this space. And people say you call it this space because I don't really know what to call it. But basically, it's just something that didn't exist over a decade ago. It's probably the last decade, because we've been doing United Stand 10 years at Christmas, and it's got holes in it, and it's not perfect because it's not really sanctioned. It's not really got professional people saying you can't do this, you can't do that. You've got that freedom. And with that freedom comes great responsibility, but also with that freedom comes a lot of mistakes. But I can't sit on this podcast and say what I'd like to do to Gary Lineker. I'm not saying I'd like to. I mean, it could be good, could be illegal, could be horrible. But I actually don't want to do anything to Gary Lineker, to be honest. I'm indifferent. But you can't do that. That's not football content. That is just this weird thing that seems to be going on at the moment where people look at the success of these YouTubers and go, let's do that with football. And I'm like, I really can't stand it. I really can't stand it. I'm like, no, let's not do that with football. Let's just talk about football. Let's disagree about football. Let's call each other a knobhead, but let's not like chase views and clicks and interaction with knobheadness. And there was another one this week as well, where I was basically saying that I was disappointed that we weren't going to get Ugarte, and I didn't want Sander Berge from Sheffield United. And somebody quite fairly said, I bet you've never seen Ugarte play. And I thought, and people piled on. And I said, well, Man United were linked to Ugarte a year ago when he was at Sporting Lisbon. And I do the United Stand, and we literally are live two or three times a day talking about absolutely everything. And you can't do that for an hour, three times a day, if you don't research and watch players and know who they are. You know, you get pulled up if you don't pronounce their name right. So when people say, I bet you've never watched them play, it's just like my dad's bigger than your dad. You know, it's like my car's better than your car. It's childish gutter crap analysis. And people are in the replies going, wow, Dad, there's no way you were up at 3 o'clock in the morning watching Uruguay. Oh, you're stalking me, are you? I'm like, one, how do you know what I'm doing? It's like the whole, you're a Forest fan because you're from Nottingham. Like, oh, I forgot you were John from my primary school class and you used to follow me round like a bloody magnet. It's just really shit. And I think the mainstream shit, I'll openly say it, I think it's absolute crap. I turn Sky Sports News on and I'm blown away by the crap clothes and the crap analysis. It's rubbish. That's my opinion. But what I cannot deal with is whatever we're trying to do, the higher brow you can get it, the better. And we're all going to have breakdowns and we're all going to moan about goals we concede and stuff. But we're never going to move anywhere if we're saying, I'd like to throw him on a bonfire, or you talk about the comparison between a player and people are going, oh, you've never watched him play. Well, maybe I didn't get up at 3 o'clock to watch Ugarte play. Maybe I woke up the next day and I had it on while I was doing my work, which is basically 12 hours a day, all about football with two screens. I'm not in the garden sunbathing. It's never sunny. So I think that what I'm trying to say is that I'm really grateful that we have the podcast and the YouTube stuff, because although it can get a bit bantery and it can get a little bit sarcastic and stuff, in the main, the conversations we're trying to have are important ones. And it's really difficult to have conversations with people who are coming out with nonsense like, you know, what's your 10? Who's got the 10 best haircuts? Or, you know, this opinion's something I don't agree with, so I'm going to completely and utterly come out with bullshit to try and be popular. And I think that, I mean, at the end of the day, what is that comment all about anyway? I bet you've never seen them play. It's so childish. It's so childish. And what's the limit on when you've seen a player play, by the way? Sometimes a scout, and I know a lot of scouts, sometimes a scout will go and watch a game for 25 minutes and go, that player's never going to be good enough, and walk out. Is that right? Is that wrong? Like, how many games do you have to watch a player then to know that they're not a player that you like? I'm not Man United CEO. I'm not your Man United scout. I'm a Man United fan. I've seen that player play. I don't think he's good enough for Man United. If we sign him and he is, oh, I got it wrong. It's incredible the arrogance some people have around opinion of football. And I think that, although I'm very, very tired at the moment, I think that I'm not tired of it because I'm used to it, but like what I've achieved in this space and what we've achieved as a community is that I'm at that stage now where I can't be bothered with beef. I can't be bothered with it. Like, I really can't. There are, and look, they're not around necessarily now, but I look at this that's been built, and there's no doubt that there's Robbie with AFTV, there's me with United Stand and That's Football, and then there was Brian and Loz with Kickoff. They were the three big hitters, the three big innovators in the space. And there are others, and people get really offended by that. But when you look at numbers and you look at who I've respected, they're the people. So that's my opinion. Yours will be different. I accept that. So the space, so where I'm at the moment is I can't be bothered with these up and coming people saying they want to throw me on a bonfire, because I'm never going to have a conversation with you now, because that's just ridiculous. And these people telling me I haven't watched football matches, because it's just childish content. Like, what I want to do is I want to have conversations about things, so that if I say I want Ugarte at Man United and someone says they want Sander Berge, let's sit down and have a conversation about why you think Ugarte is not good enough and why I think Sander Berge isn't good enough, and let's create some good content. And I think that is what we should be doing in this football creator space, because too many people are getting locked into this YouTuber influencer world where you have beef with this American or you have beef with this UK streamer. And if we bring that into football, we're ridiculing football. I mean, I remember there used to be a magazine called Nuts, and it was of its time, but it was shit. And I look around now and I see certain content creators really going down that road, and it's shite. It's absolute shite. If you want a conversation about football, let's have a conversation about football. That's what this podcast is all about. And I'm at that stage in my career now where I just can't be arsed with he said, she said, you don't do this, you don't do that. Let's have a proper fucking conversation about football if you want one, without you shouting and screaming in my face. Because I tell you what, I hated all that years ago as well. You know, we used to go and do it with certain content creators who just scream and shout and swear. Come on, let's have a conversation. God, I'm tired. I'm irritable, aren't I? I think I'm irritable. Look, Friday show done, 32 minutes. You can't argue with that. Hope you've really enjoyed it. Remember to get your comments in on anything. Sleeping advice, yeah, would love some of that. But the bottom line is I have to get up at about 4 o'clock in the morning at the moment because the puppy needs a piss. So until its bladder grows, I'm stuck. But Premier League predictions. My video will go up on That's Football on Monday morning, as it always does. There may be a few beers while I do it, because that always leads to Man United are going to win the Champions League. But I think we've gone through a few there, and I'd love to get your opinions. But I'm saying Liverpool dark horses for the title. Keep an eye on that. I'm also saying Newcastle dark horses for the top four. Keep an eye on that. No one's talking about Newcastle. No one's leaving Newcastle. And when they've got everybody fit and they're not in Europe, we know what they can do. I don't think people are talking about Newcastle enough. So there you go. Thanks everyone for listening. Take care. Please spread the word, get your comments in, and I'll speak to you all later.